Apakah bentuk hubungan Malaysia-Filipina 51 tahun selepas penubuhan ASEAN? Bagaimana pula dengan tuntutan Filipina ke atas Sabah? Dan bagaimana kedua negara akan bergerak ke hadapan dalam era Malaysia baru? Bersama dengan setiausaha luar Filipina, Alan Cayetano, saya Rizal Zulkapli. Ini Awani Global. Your Excellency, we'll start with the Philippines-Malaysia bilateral relationship, and the relationship between both countries has evolved into many dynamic forms in the past 50 years. We've got trade, we've got cultural, we've got security and disaster relief. What is the new phase of relationship between the Philippines and Malaysia that you foresee moving forward?
Just this afternoon, I had a very, very good meeting with the new foreign minister and got a lot of insights about the reformist nature of this new government. And at the start, in the middle, at the end of the meeting, you know, there was such an excitement and consensus that we can really do much more. The timing is there. Issues that held us back before are at bay. Common interest regarding certain issues we've already been discussing. So we really think that a stronger, closer Philippine-Malaysia, Malaysia-Philippine relationship will benefit both the Filipino people and the Malaysians.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of these issues or pain areas that you discuss with the new foreign minister, and how do you foresee that moving forward? What kind of actions do you see will solve these issues and pain areas?
We really discussed how to move forward, how to leapfrog, and we discussed a little bit of some sensitive issues that I think held us back in the past.
Mm-hmm. Security issues, perhaps?
Yes, one of them is security. We discussed, of course, a little bit about the situation of Filipinos in Sabah. We discussed the thankfulness of us in the help of the Malaysians in southern Mindanao, mm-hmm. With the MILF. We discussed what went wrong in the former peace talks. Mm-hmm. For example, is that we had a political solution, but no economic plan. Mm-hmm. But right now, the timing is well. With the Malaysian economy, the Philippine economy, the direction of Prime Minister Mahathir, the direction of President Duterte. Mm-hmm. So we think that Malaysian conglomerates, Malaysian companies, Malaysian businessmen, you know, can help not only by making money and mm-hmm. transferring technology and investing in the Philippines, but can really help in the peace efforts that it will become long and lasting.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee more investment going into these areas moving forward?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think there'll be more Philippine investments to Malaysia, and mm-hmm. that there's much more that Malaysia can do. Taking the cue from Prime Minister Mahathir's Putrajaya, mm-hmm. Which I was much younger then and amazed that you can plan something like that. Mm-hmm. Mr. Vince Dison of the BCD, under the direction of President Duterte, is building Clark Air Base, the former U.S. Clark Air Base, into the new Clark City, mm-hmm. and MTD Capital bagged I think it's a 1.5, 1.7 billion Malaysian ringgit project. Mm-hmm. So they're building our government center, mm-hmm. our athletic center, our aquatic center, government housing, and our athletes' village. Since we're your successors after such a successful Southeast Asian Games here, mm-hmm. this is an example of us having a need in our build, mm-hmm. and Malaysia having the Malaysian companies having the expertise, the technology, and the the audacity, mm-hmm. to do something new and put up the standards.
Speaking of solving issues, right? You still haven't enforced the arbitration with China when it comes to the 9-dash line in South China Sea. Will there be any, moving forward, looking at a bigger aspect of that, including ASEAN countries, to also be part of that, making it a bit stronger instead of a bilateral, making it a multilateral enforcement of the arbitration that is won, or the Philippines won about 2 years ago?
Well, thank you for that question, because that is precisely the propaganda and the mental dishonesty or intellectual dishonesty of the Philippine opposition to President Duterte and his team. So they said that we're not enforcing the Hague decision or the arbitral decision. That's actually deceiving, because the arbitral award deals with sovereign rights, economic rights. So what did it deal with? First, it defined the features and the entitlements, talked about fisheries, talked about the environment, talked about safety of life at the seas, and talked about living and non-living resources, so that includes oil and gas. So as far as fisheries, we have a tentative fishing agreement with China, so our fishermen are now fishing there, also the Vietnamese fishermen in the Scarborough Shoal, because that's what the arbitration decision said. In the local sense, you know, like if you say, I have a court decision, enforce it, bring the sheriff, bring the police, you know, in that sense, that's where they try to deceive people that's not being enforced. But there's no enforcement mechanism for the UNCLOS. It is legally binding, but you don't have an international police or anybody except for the UN Security Council, you know, to come up with a binding enforcement mechanism. So just because we're doing it through negotiation doesn't mean that we're not pursuing the gains of the Philippines in the arbitral award. So the funny thing is, the people who failed in that approach is trying to blame the people who are actually succeeding in a new approach.
Will this move moving forward include other countries who are also part of the territorial disputes, including Malaysia?
Yes. Malaysia and the Philippines have also overlapping claims.
Yeah.
Malaysia and Philippines is in a unique position of having these experiences with arbitration. So we can actually set an example and also discuss the sensitive issues between us. So, for example, there's so much noise in the Philippines about China being in our exclusive economic zone, which is a valid concern. But there are features in the South China Sea in our EEZ that are occupied by Malaysia. But you see, we're not at each other's throats. Rather, we're finding ways to cooperate and how we can... your people and our people, the Malaysians and the Filipinos, can equally benefit from all of this.
So what would you say to the Philippines media saying that the Philippines is sacrificing national interests for economic benefits from China?
First, I'll say totally untrue. Secondly, I'll say that, you know, look at the results. So if I keep shouting at you, Rizal, and you don't give me the reaction I want, then you'll say, I'm tough and I'm victorious because what? I dressed you down and I shouted. But if I ask you nicely and talk to you as a gentleman and you give me what I ask for. So I to the critics, you know, the media is simply, you know, reporting what the critics is saying. So it's not really the media, but the critics, you know. So to the critics, what's your objective? Because if your objective is securing our national territory, and the Philippines protecting and enjoying our sovereign rights, we're on the right track. This approach is paying off.
Is this still microphone diplomacy in that sense? Or is there a lot of negotiations?
Look at the Philippines and Malaysia. Yeah. Do we shout at each other about the South China Sea? But we're doing things together. So that's what I meant. You know. But what if right here I start saying, you know, Malaysia is wrong, Philippines... Then the Malaysian foreign minister does the same in Manila. So pretty soon... We won't be cooperating, our tourism will be affected, our investments will be affected. We live in a global community. And ASEAN, we're brothers and sisters, but we do have large neighbors that are a blessing to us. You have Japan, you have China, you have India, you know. So all of these countries have a big influence on ASEAN. So we really have to live, we find a way to live together as neighbors. But of course, you know, have common, to have an equitable... a rule of law for all of us.